Hey guys, welcome to the first episode of Scouting Giants. I am Steve Fishkin. What's going on, Jake? Jake, tell us a little bit about yourself as well, buddy.
I'm Jake. I am a writer for Overtime Heroics, so I'm a Giants beat writer. So a little bit about me. That's what I do for my Giants. Non-Giants related, I have another podcast. So if you love sports, you want to come hear more about me after the show, if you like me, it's called Journey with the Jays. We go live every Wednesday at 8:30. So, like I said, if you're into all sports, that's the show for you. If you like me,
good stuff, man. Well, hey, my name is Steve Fishkin. I am the founder of Pigskin Nut, a football website just dedicated to hardcore football fans. And you know, Jake and I, you know, we both have a tremendous passion about the New York Giants. So, you know, for me, you know, I focus on the entire NFL, but I bleed blue. I got a Giants tattoo on my left arm. Scouting is my passion. This team is my passion. And, you know, in my opinion, I think I see, Jake, you'll probably agree, a lot of misinformation about, you know, what's going wrong with the Giants and what they should do on the internet. You know, Jake, we do live in this, well, I don't actually live there anymore, but the Giants are in this New York market where people get a little pissed off, don't they?
Oh, yeah. People are nuts. They're so ruthless. That's the word for it. Ruthless. They just, you know what? Anything you do wrong, you could be having a perfect game. You could be winning 54-0. You do one thing wrong, that's all they remember.
Yep, exactly. And you know, there are other Giants podcasts out there. I get it. There are other choices to listen to. But this one is really focused on a sub-niche, which is just strictly evaluating the team and the players on the team from a bit of a scouting, you know, perspective. You know, that's a part of my background and what I love to do. But I kind of feel that a lot of times you get feedback on this team. It's a lot of times emotional, but we really want to, you know, take things into context and evaluate, you know, this New York Giants team. And look, despite an 0-2 start, I'm glad to be having football again. But Jake, let me ask you, before we even just focus on this one game, as a team, are you seeing any improvements so far with this team under Pat Shurmur? I know that's, you know, it's not a very hard goal to achieve, but what are you seeing that's better this year?
Well, my favorite thing that I've seen both weeks, that defensive line, I got to tell you, the one key thing I've looked at really has been the defense, but that defensive line, last season it was good, but this season it looks like it could really wreak some havoc on all the quarterbacks in the league. They've had multiple sacks in both games now. They get a lot of QB pressure, which I'm loving. Another thing that I'm just seeing as a team as a whole, they really seem to receive what Joe Judge says. You know, a lot of stuff in the offseason from the players, and I'm continuing to see it, is Joe Judge is a player's coach, so to speak. He gets down to their level. They receive what he says really well. And for me, that's one of the biggest things a coach can have. They've said he knows how to be strict, but he also knows how to almost have a soft spot. You know, there was a video that went around the internet a couple weeks ago at the end of training camp. You know, he was, you know, having some fun with the players, which I love to see, because again, that builds that aspect of, okay, I'm your coach and I'm going to be hard on you, but I'm also going to have fun with you. And I can be both a friend and an ally as well as your coach at the same time. I can be both. And I love that. It's one of my favorite things about him. Pat Shurmur, I never felt that way. I haven't felt that way with another coach in a long time, really, that I've seen he can do both. And I love that.
Tom Coughlin, you know, he loosened up after a while, but he never did that.
Right. But I love that. See, that for me, I know I was an athlete in high school. And I know just being in that and experience, it's a great thing. You want your coach to push you and motivate you and be hard on you. But I think as a player as well, when you know you have a coach that can have fun, you can have a laugh with, will be receptive to you, especially when you do things right, that will say, hey, you did a fantastic job for what you just did, instead of just continuing to be hard on you over and over and over again. I think as a player, that can be really great. And that's something that I feel like I'm seeing with this team. You know, the defensive line, I mentioned it before. I think they're getting a lot of credit from Joe Judge. I'm sure he's on the sidelines. I know we don't see it, but I'm sure he's going up to them and say, hey, you know, you're doing a good job out there to whoever does what. You know, Leonard Williams has looked fantastic. I'm sure he's getting a lot of praise from his coaches. I think that's something that we're going to continue to see. With Joe Judge as the coach, if they continue to excel, especially on the defense, that's going to be a bright spot for us. What do you think, Steve?
I think, you know, I said going into this year, you know, the defensive line is very underrated because there's not really a weak link there. BJ Hill, we've seen plenty of good flashes out of him. Mm-hmm. Leonard Williams, despite not generating the sacks, we know he's always generating pressure. And I think that was something that really got lost last year is people thought that getting Leonard Williams there was a bad move. It didn't pan out. No, absolutely. You can't say that because you can't, you know, you can't grade a quarterback's accuracy by his completion percentage. And uh-huh. you can't always grade disruption by how many sacks a guy gets. And Dexter Lawrence was one of the best defensive rookies last year. I said, coming out of Clemson, he has a very high floor. He's going to be a good player. And I think he has been, you know, there were times, you know, yesterday where you saw that, you know, that defensive line, you know, did, you know, they won, but they also lost in the trenches. So you give some mm-hmm. credit to the Bears offensive line because I think they played better. But overall, I think, you know, that defensive line is a bright spot. I definitely see this team being a more disciplined team than the one under Pat Shurmur. You can tell they're coached better. No, they're not winning games, but they are, you know, they made it close against two good defenses. And look, I didn't expect this team to me. If this team, you know, and I know we're only two games in, so I don't want to be too premature. But for me, I'm like, hey, if this team can win eight games, this is a good start for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Look, it's a lot of fans are jumping off the wagon already saying, oh, they're 0-2. It's over. It's two games. And the other thing that I think a lot of people aren't looking at, it's a new offense for Daniel Jones. And I look, I'm a critic of Daniel Jones as much as I do like him. And I've been a critic of the offense. But the one thing I think a lot of fans are just almost disregarding is, he hasn't played under Jason Garrett. He had no preseason to practice with him. And that's going to go for both sides of the ball, really. Is you don't have preseason, so, you know, the defensive line is playing well right now, right? But let's say in 5 weeks, they might be even better because they're learning to play with one another. They play off one another's strengths. You know, if Dexter Lawrence is, you know, having a good game and Leonard Williams is not, you know, they learn how to say, let's say, okay, you're not doing well, you're doing well. They figure out as teammates, okay, here's what we need to do as a unit, so to speak. And that's something where I think we're going to continue to see with each passing week on both sides of the ball is learning how to work with one another. And so I want to just say, give them time on the offense especially because I know a lot of people are hard on that offense right now, which hasn't been wonderful. But it's two games under a new offense, under a young quarterback, under a line that hasn't played together. A
weird offseason.
Give them time. I'm not saying they're going to be, you know, the best offense in the league, but if they, you know, make the top 20, maybe top 18, it's not impossible if they start to play better and they work together, which is not impossible if that offensive line starts to gel, which I think is very possible.
Yeah, and that's the next thing I was going to say is that even with an offensive line, you know, a lot of times people just want to say they're all bad, but you have to understand that. And I know you're like, I just said it, but I've played offensive line, you know, it takes time to develop a good, like you said, to gel, to have that good communication there. And the first game against Pittsburgh, yeah, no, they certainly got beat in their one-on-one matchups. I thought Andrew Thomas looked very good, but you definitely saw that a lot of times it was just bad communication there. And you know, I think that's something that is going to take some time. And I think, you know, fans are very much in the mindset, well, how much longer do we have to wait? Oh, we've waited long enough and this rebuild isn't done. Well, let me just say this. Gettleman, the Giants over the last few years have probably had maybe top three worst rosters in the NFL. Sometimes that takes time. And things, you know, things are going to happen. You know, DeAndre Baker, no, as a player, I don't think he was panning out, but I don't think anyone expected that. But look, there are other things that happened, and I think this is still a team that's moving in the right direction, just maybe not as fast as some fans want to see.
Yeah, I agree. I think we said it before, especially New York fans, they're extremely critical. So every minor mistake to us, to, you know, as an analyst, it might seem minor, but to a Giants fan, especially, you know, in that New York market, it's like the end of the world for them. It doesn't matter. So that's the problem. You know, when you're, especially for me, being in the New York market, still being in the area, people blow everything out of proportion because they just, they attack and attack and attack with every little mistake, no matter what. If Fans just got to take a deep breath, relax. We got young offensive linemen like Andrew Thomas. They're going to start working. He's going to get better. We got a young quarterback in Daniel Jones. We have a great defense coming, coming up defense, I should say, because I think in the next 2-3 years, that's going to be an elite defense if they continue to trend the way they're trending. And we have a superstar running back, which I know we're going to talk in a little bit. There's a lot of things going in the right direction, and that's not even talking about guys like Evan Engram, Darius Slayton, and Sterling Shepard. There's a lot of moving parts that are going in the right direction. Just give them a little time, especially in a new offense, like I mentioned. Give them time. Pump the brakes. You can't expect Daniel Jones to be throwing, 300-plus yards every single game as, A, a second-year quarterback, and, B, a first, in his first year in the offense. That's just – I know a lot of fans are expecting that, of course, because – that's what they want to see, but that's just unreasonable. I think fans just need to take the break, relax, and say, okay, he's throwing, 250-plus yards a game, which is still good, and he's playing, generally speaking, quite well. Just, he needs the time to develop, which is understandable.
Yeah, and I like the Jason Garrett offense for him as a passer. You see he's getting the ball out of his hands a lot faster than he was last year, which I think is definitely necessary given the fact that the offensive line, although it's improved, it's still clearly a work in progress and having their issues there. So I think, I like this getting the ball out of his hand faster. But again, we were saying this before, and we'll talk about this more, is that, defenses are going to know. I mean, we'll see what they do. Rumor is that they had Devontae Freeman in. So we'll see if anything transpires with that. But unless they get someone that can help them establish another running attack, defenses are going to be sitting back there, expecting him to throw. And I think, that's something that we'll have to look at. So anyways, let's kind of shift gears and talk about the game yesterday specifically. This was actually another game just like the first one where it really just came down to a few plays. I mean, if the Giants had one more play, I know it would have been fourth down. They would have had a chance. So there was a missed field goal. And there was also that weird play where the Bears offensive lineman, I forget which one it was, but he caught the ball and made it.
Oh, don't even. My first thought about it was ineligible receiver. And then I realized, well, no, it was tipped. So that doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
That was strange play.
Yeah. So I think when you say pump the brakes, we also have to look at the fact that they faced two good defenses and without a running game and didn't get blown out and they kept it competitive. So, but what did you think of what you saw from Daniel Jones yesterday?
I think look, a lot of people are going to be very critical. So I want to preface this by saying, again, relax, because there's a lot more than the eye can see right now. I think as a passer, for the most part, he's playing really well. His movement in the pocket has been pretty well, has been pretty good. And I love, my favorite thing, especially just as a Giants fan, but also as just a fan of the sport, I love his mobility. I think that is something that is becoming so crucial for every quarterback. It's really, you're starting to see it. The mobile quarterbacks are the guys that are becoming the elite. Guys like Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. Those are the guys that are, considered the elites. And I'm not taking anything away from anybody else because, of course, there's elites that are not mobile. But with that said, that's where the QB position is shifting.
Oh, yeah.
10 years ago, it was a pocket passer. 20 years ago, it was a pocket passer. It's been a pocket passer for a long time, really. But now it's starting to move from, yes, you can be a pocket passer, but you really have to get out of the pocket and be able to move because it really extends plays. And that's something I love about Daniel Jones. And I know a lot of Giants fans don't like to talk about it because, they're like, Trevor Lawrence, that's who they want. Stop. Because Daniel Jones has a lot. The only thing I don't like about Daniel Jones is decision-making. And I understand it's not entirely his fault because you have to understand that he's forced into a lot of situations right now because he's young. That's the first thing. He's just young, so he's trying to learn how to be an NFL quarterback, really. It's a big jump from college to the NFL. And I understand he had a majority of a season, but he's still learning. And that's something to expect. He's making mistakes as he will, and that's okay. The other thing is, again, we've talked about that offensive line. They're still trying to work out the kinks and trying to get better, and that's also going to add pressure to Daniel Jones. When his pocket, so to speak, is collapsing on him as often as it may be, and he can't run, what is he left to do? Well, he's thinking, again, because he's so young and not experienced yet, oh, I need to get rid of the ball, but he's not doing it the right way. He's not taking the sacks that necessarily always should, because sometimes there are sacks that you should just take, and you learn that being a veteran. And there are some plays where he's throwing the ball that he shouldn't throw it, or he's throwing it in the wrong direction, or he's making little mistakes that can be fixed over time. But other than that, I think as a pure passer, he's got a really great arm, and I don't think enough people are talking about how strong this guy's arm is. He looks fantastic, and I saw it last week, and I continue to see it this week. Unbelievable, his strength as just a pure passer.
And if you watch him from Duke until now, his arm is stronger.
Oh, absolutely.
His arm is clearly stronger, and you know he already came into the NFL with a bigger frame. And you know he's put on some size, but look, that does happen. You know, I think, you know, a lot of times people forget that these guys are, you know, they're young, they're still growing. And if you look at him as a thrower to Duke compared to now, you know, his arm is definitely stronger. But if you look at the velocity he has on some of these, you're like, wow, rifled it in there, you know. So I mean,
absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, there's a lot to like there on a throw-for-throw basis. A lot of fans are going to go back. They're going to just simply look at the interceptions. And, you know, I mean, we'll talk about that. But I thought, you know, yesterday, overall, Daniel Jones, played very well. The one interception that he did have, everyone's going to want to, you know, everyone's going to remember the one bad one. And I get it. You can only have so many because it totally, you know, it shifts the momentum of the game. But let's be honest, you know, based on what I saw there, he was anticipating where Evan Engram was going to be. Evan Engram slipped and didn't make it there. So, I mean, you can only fault him, you know, so much for that. But still, you know, the decision making, it's getting better. I think it's getting better. The one key area that he still has to be that's still a concern for me is awareness when the rush is closing in, just in terms of how he's handling the ball in the pocket. You know, the best thing about Daniel Jones is that he senses pressure. The worst thing about Daniel Jones is that the best thing about him is that he doesn't sense pressure, but it's also the worst thing about him as well, because that's what's led to a lot of these strip sack fumbles that he's gotten. But also it's made him a quarterback, and you watch him, you're like, he's fearless. If there's, you know, he doesn't lose his accuracy when there's a guy in his face. And I think those are impressive things on a throw for throw basis. He's looking really good. They're just the moving parts around him. He just doesn't have what he needs right now, but also at the same time, there is that lack of experience and this new offense. And I think it's shown up in the first two games, but at the same time, you could still see a quarterback who's progressing.
Yeah, I like the pick out of Duke. I never doubted it because I said, all right, I'm going to trust Gettleman. And when I saw him play, I'm not going to say I was in love with him, but I thought he was good. And I've continued to think that as I watch him, he's got a lot of talent. He worked really hard in the offseason, and he added some muscle. And you can see it in the way he's playing. You can see it in the way he's throwing, first of all, because obviously building that muscle, especially he bulked up his legs. For people that don't think about, you know, the quarterback position a lot, it comes from the legs and the hips, that rotation. That's really important to his throw. So for me, that was something I love to see, and you're seeing it in his throws. He is zipping that ball when he has to. I mean, I think back to last week when he threw that touchdown to Darius Slayton. That ball was coming in, and it was coming in hot. And he looks really good in that aspect. And that's the other thing, too, for, you know, again, he bulked up his legs. His running game is really looking great, and it's looking better. And he's starting to pick up on that a little bit better. Again, on a week-by-week basis, I'm knowing a little bit more and more that he's picking up when to get out of the pocket and make those runs. And when he makes those runs, he's great outside the pocket so far, which is the one thing, I absolutely love that about him, is his mobility and his mobility outside the pocket. The one thing I'm liking better than last season, he's knowing when to slide and when to come down a little bit sooner. He's doing that better.
Definitely.
Great. That's really going to be huge for taking away some turnovers, because I know last season that's where some of the turnovers came in, those fumbles, because – he didn't see whoever was coming in to tackle him, whoever it may have been coming in, and he didn't slide soon enough. They come in, they dislodge the ball. Now he's getting down. He's A, avoiding big hits. He's B, now avoiding those possible turnovers, which is, again, something that you just kind of learn. It's an experience thing, which a lot of fans don't realize, but that's an experience thing, and I love that. That's one of my favorite improvements about Daniel Jones this season so far.
Yep, absolutely. He's doing good. All things considered, looking at this offensive line yesterday, I thought that they were much like, you know, the Giants trying to generate a pass rush. They had flashes here and there, but they had it. But they also had issues. I felt like at times they got a good push. Like there were times when you'd see Will Hernandez make some really, really good blocks out there. Especially when Will Hernandez, if you let him be a gap scheme guy and just go get his guy, he's really good like that. When they did play zone, I thought that's where he struggled more in the past. But there were times when, you know, he played well, but there were also times when you could see, you know, Akeem Hicks, you know, I think he split. It was like Nick Gates and Hernandez and, you know, got right after Daniel Jones. But I think more than anything, probably, you know, you're looking at, you know, the offensive line just not really gelling well as a whole, more so than any one individual player being terrible. Not to say that everyone's been good. I would say probably the best player has been Andrew Thomas that so far. But, you know, what do you make from this offensive line performance yesterday?
It was better, especially in those early parts of the game. I felt like it looked a lot better. You know, Saquon had some really good early runs, and that was a lot in part to that offense. They gave him some holes, and he made the most of them. And for me, that was great. I don't want to be too harsh on them because as much as I hate watching how bad they're playing sometimes, because at times you're right, they do play great, and at times they play terrible. It's, again, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's just they're not gelling right now. They didn't have preseason, so these first four games, so to speak, are almost like their preseason. That's almost the equivalent, or even the first three games is because, yeah, they play four preseason games. And, yes, they don't play a lot in those preseason games, but it's still something. It gives them a feel for the game, and now they're being thrown into game-time situation, which is a lot more intense than a preseason game. So it's hard for them to adjust. So for now, I'm trying to give them a pass for the most part because – overall, the line is not as bad as it seems. It's not great, but there are really some good blocks throughout the game. If you're looking at the offensive line, they actually make some good plays. They've helped. They've made a better pocket for Jones this week. That was for sure. That was very evident. I felt like Jones had a little bit more time with the ball. If you watched it, you could see he was a little more confident back there, and that's partially because of that line. And I think that's going to be a trend, hopefully, in the future. They play more together, they'll continue to gel more, and they'll continue to improve. And I'm not saying they're going to be the best offensive line, but this could be a pretty decent, maybe middle-of-the-pack kind of offensive line when they're all really gelling and working together.
Yeah, I mean, you know, absolutely. It's going to take time. You know, even on a bright note, we mentioned before we got started here, Khalil Mack, you know, he certainly did some damage yesterday. But there was also a lot of plays because they moved him around a bit. And I could see Fleming as well as Thomas. You know, they were plays where I'm like, hey, they handled them well. A couple of times I saw Mack try to beat Andrew Thomas with speed to power, and Thomas just held him fine. So, you know, there's some positives to take away. But again, you know, inexperience, you know, as a team. I got to say that I don't think Nick Gates is probably going to be our long-term solution at center. I think that's going to be an area that we're going to want to address in the draft. Is there, you know, who are you seeing really as kind of the stopgap guys here on this line?
So far, Hernandez has looked pretty good. I've liked what I've seen from him, but I don't want to say I'm seeing anybody yet really because it's – last week was – a nightmare. Well, I'll leave it politely at that. So last week was not much. I think Thomas has just not just the stopgap, but just in general has looked probably the best. And I know we've talked about that a little bit. He's looked for the best, ironically, as a rookie. But then the next best guy for me probably is going to Hernandez. He's actually looked pretty good. I know he missed a lot of time last year, so I've been really impressed with him specifically. But again, it's so early that I can make those, you know, I can say what I want, but I want to wait personally, you know, 3-4 weeks into the season to really get an idea. Okay, who's going to be, you know, who's going to be our strength? Who's going to be our weaknesses? Who's going to be doing what for us? If that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, makes sense. I will say this between the two tackles in terms of just handling power. I've seen Andrew Thomas do a, you know, definitely a better job than than Cam Fleming, but you know, we'll see how it, you know, how it pans out. I thought, you know, yesterday, you know, we expected more from the receivers yesterday. I know Sterling Shepard, I believe, is out. You know, and when Darius Slayton doesn't have a big game and Saquon Barkley doesn't have a big game, you know, you kind of worry. Like if you go into the game knowing that, hey, you're not going to get very much from Slayton or Barkley, and obviously we'll talk about Barkley, you're like, geez, I don't know what we're going to have there. And that's a thing, is that, you know, whether it was Eli Manning in preseason or it was Daniel Jones during the regular season, Darius Slayton as a rookie, and I think he even, you know, he kind of solidified in the first game, he's the number one target on this team now. He's their guy.
Yeah, I agree. And ironically, he didn't have as many targets yesterday, but I do agree. I said it last week after I watched that game. He forget what the depth chart says, because a lot of fans go, oh, well, Sterling Shepard's the number one, or it doesn't. That's anybody that looks at that, that's just bogus to me. But that's whatever. Anyway, after last week, especially, you saw the connection that him and Daniel Jones have. And there is, in my mind, no doubt that if Daniel Jones is choosing one guy to go to, he's going to Slayton. There's something there that he sees, and he says, I trust this guy, and I love throwing to him, and it's so apparent. And I this week was – they clearly targeted him this week, it looked like, because they said they know Jones wants to go to him. So they said, all right, we have to shut him down now.
Yeah, and even you know, even last year's training camp, Eli Manning was talking about, hey, this rookie is something. I'm having, you know, a good connection with him. So, you know, I think there's definitely something there. You know, one positive thing I will say that we can look at is about the offensive line, just going back to that for a second. There was more of a push up front, just because before Barkley got hurt, he did have 7 carries for 28 yards. The first one got stuffed, but you definitely saw there were times there where he was getting more of a push there. I don't want to talk too much on that, but I thought I'd just give them some, you know, some credit there. But overall, as an offense, you know, they're going in, they're playing San Francisco this week, you know, with Saquon Barkley out, you know, what, you know, and I don't want to take away too much from our preview show, but, you know, what do you think is going to be, just in 30 or 60 seconds, a kind of summary of what the Giants can do here without giving them too much, you know?
Well, look, they got to get the passing game going. They got to get Slayton more involved this week. I think that's going to be crucial, because, again, he felt almost non-existent this week. Evan Ingram had a great week, so they got to keep that going. They just got to move the ball around. I think that's the most important thing is going to be for them, is if you move the ball around, not just on San Francisco, but any team, if you're getting the ball to 4, 5, 6 different guys throughout the game, it keeps the defense on their toes. I think that's one of the best things in offense, no matter who you're playing, can ever do. And I'm going to leave it at that. I don't want to say too much. Move the ball around, keep the defense on their toes. That's going to be a big thing.
Yeah. And I'll say this, you know, don't be afraid to run the ball down their throat, because I think, like, right now teams are going to be expecting you're not confident enough to do that. But let's not forget, Deion Lewis is a big boy. I don't know if you saw him on the sideline. He's hulking, man.
It's funny you say that, because I saw today that the Giants looked at Devonta Freeman, and my first thought was
Saquon's.
I said we don't need him though. I said we have Deion Lewis. After yesterday, I was in love with Deion Lewis. I was, you know, as having him as our number one back for now, I was more than okay with it. He was great in the passing game, which I loved. It was something that Saquon does very well, and it almost felt like Deion Lewis was saying, okay, if Saquon can do it, I'm going to do it too. And he looked great running. He just, overall, he fit in very nicely. And look, I guess the Giants think they need a number one back, but I think Deion Lewis, they have it right here. What do they need to go spend money on someone else?
Yeah. You know, I haven't seen enough of him to really, like, give a grade on it, but, you know, he's a big boy, and, you know, he didn't average a lot of yards per carry. A lot of times didn't really have anywhere to go, but I think, you know, we've seen some good stuff out of him, is, you know, as well. Defensively yesterday, I thought the defense, first two games, the defense has shown you that they are improving. But for 2 weeks in a row, the biggest liability to me on the entire team really may be on the defense, and that's their secondary.
Yep.
Corey Ballantyne, I don't think we can continue to start him. I know Julian Love, you know, he's kind of hybrid between cornerback and safety, but, you know, it might be time to because right now, I think they're having Julian Love more at safety because of the Xavier McKinney injury. So now they're trying to have him in that role, which is why I think McKinney being hurt really does hurt us. Cause I think, James Bradbury has played well so far. He made the great pick yesterday. Look like Willie Mays making that
one. And that was one heck of a pick. I don't even know how I watched that play. I said, how did he get that?
Yeah. That was one of the best plays I've seen.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the best interceptions I've seen, in a bit. So he's played well. Darnay Holmes has struggled. I don't think but he's still a rookie. But also, I think it's clear to just Corey Ballantyne isn't the answer. So I just think they're going to schematically have to figure something out with the secondary because if you want to talk about, where did they get exposed the most in the first half? It was definitely just
they were just
unmatched going against these Bears wide receivers who are not considered elite wide receivers comparatively to the rest of the league, but they were definitely outclassed.
Now Trubisky was having a field day in the first half. He threw for I believe 160 yards, scored 17 points with that offense. He looked unstoppable. I mean, it looked like the end of the Detroit game all over again. It was a nightmare and. Thankfully, they picked it up in that second half, but you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, the Giants were getting torched left and right, it felt like, in that first half.
Yeah. This guy had some missed tackles yesterday, but I'm always of the belief that the most important position you're going to have filled on a defense is a middle linebacker with great instincts and great sideline ability. He missed a few tackles yesterday, but if you want to talk about and I mean, Martinez and Bradbury, they were the two big signings, and I think they've both played well. But just as a guy that can snuff out the run and has great instincts, I've loved what I've seen from Blake Martinez so far.
Oh, I've loved him. He's been not only a tackling machine, but he's just, you just said it, his football instincts. And he feels like he's all over the place all the time, which I love. He's got great hustle, he's got great instincts. He has been arguably the best signing we've had. You know, on the defensive side, not only this season, but in the past few seasons, for sure.
Yeah, and if you look at the Giants historically, and you can see this with a lot of other defenses, think about, like, our defense when we had a middle linebacker. When we had an Antonio Pierce. Here, I'll give you another example. Everyone remembers our defense went from pretty horrible to pretty good by signing John Beeson, who is no longer in his prime. Mm-hmm. Who was still a good player at the time, but no longer in his prime. I just think for defenses, when you have a guy like that, everyone talks about the premium position as pass rusher. But I see a lot of teams that look like one trick ponies with one good pass rusher. But I don't see as many teams with really stellar middle linebackers. That are bad.
Linebacker is arguably just in general one of the best positions if you have a good one because rush the passer. They can play deep. They can play almost anywhere, it feels like. If you have a really talented guy, you can play almost anywhere. I mean, he basically plays all the positions at once. I mean, I agree. I mean, I said before, but Blake Martinez was all over the place. You need him to cover? Okay. You need him to, rush the passer? Okay. You need him to, you got a guy in open space that needs to be tackled? Okay. He does it all. And you're absolutely right. That is – it's such a versatile position that is underrated. It's not talked about enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Pass rush. One thing that we just didn't see a lot of yesterday were the outside linebackers or edge rushers really generating much of a rush. You could see that Chicago definitely did a better job on that. The defensive line at times, all of the defensive line, like we said, they played well yesterday. But you could see, especially there are times in the game when some of those big runs that David Montgomery got, that they, the Bears were winning in the trenches. So what do we need to see differently from this defense this week?
It's similar to the offensive line that I've talked about. They just need to continue to gel. It's kind of the same thing. You got some really talented guys on that defensive line. They just need to learn to work better together. And, I think even the edge rushers, when they come in, that's something they're going to have to practice working with. They just, they have to learn to work as a unit and not as individual players because you can have a team of all-stars or you can have all-star team. It doesn't matter if you have the greatest players on your defensive line. If they can't work together, it's not going to help you in the end because they're not, they're trying to all do their own thing and they're going to end up tripping over each other's feet. So for me, they need to become a team of all-stars where they just need to work together and become as a unit, you know, an unstoppable force, as opposed to trying to individually be unstoppable by themselves.
Yeah. And you got to hope Joe Judge is the coach to bring that out of a team, because he came from the guy who's the very best at doing that in Bill Belichick, because we look at these Patriots defenses that are consistently ranked top five in the league. Who do they really have that's like a household name besides, you know, Stephon Gilmore?
Stephon Gilmore's it.
Yeah. You know, they've never had – who's been their biggest pass rusher? What, Jamie Collins? I mean, Trey Maybe. Flowers? At the end of the day, it comes down to that. But I can get off on a whole another tangent. But I think for me, we got to figure out something with the secondary. I know we have Logan Ryan, you know, Julian Love, but I think just, you know, Corey Ballantyne being out there is hurting the team. And I think we have to figure something out that involves giving him, you know, less playing time, or I'm not going to say no playing time at all, but
yeah.
I'll say at this point, I think Darnay Holmes has been better than him, yeah. Who's been in the league one year less. So I think we got to figure out, you know, something with that. San Francisco, you know, they're a good team all around. They're 0-2, but look, this team just got done going to the Super Bowl. So, but anyways, we will certainly talk more about that on our next show. We will be airing our next show, I think sometime late on Wednesday, may or may not be live. We'll see about that. But on that show, we're going to talk about the upcoming game with the 49ers. 49ers are in MetLife Stadium 2 weeks in a row. So if that turf is as bad as I hear it is, they're probably going to be hurting. So stay tuned for that show. We're going to preview that game. Look, guys, it is only two games in. We still got some football to go. For Steve and Jake, we are scouting Giants, and we'll talk to you guys next time.